Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. Lee Brekeen. Glad to be here. Our show today is going to be focused on different topics here. First of all, I want to wish everybody great health with their family. I want to thank all the everybody in the hospitals and everybody in the medical profession for working tireless hours around the clock with no sleep, you know, and praying for all our families in this country and in the world. But we're going to go ahead and get into our first segment, which is going to be high school coaches. I've got some spotlights on some high school coaches. I want to talk about some great jobs that some of our high school coaches are doing in Louisiana. De La Salle's head coach, Ryan Manali, who was a longtime assistant coach for Archbishop Rummel and Jay Roth for many years. Actually, he was one of the great assistants at Rummel. At the start of the, at the start of Jay Roth's powerhouse program when they started it from scratch, Ryan Manali was part of that rebuild where they brought Rummel to the Superdome for the first time in ever, you know, under Jay Roth. Ryan was a key assistant on that staff. And in the last 4 years, taken a program like De La Salle that had never been to the playoffs, winning a playoff game, and then the following year going to the state championship game to play an incredible U-High team, one of the greatest teams ever. I mean, they finished runner-up. But to play in two state championship games in 4 years, actually two state championship games in 3 years, is an incredible feat for a program that had never won a playoff game in the history of the program prior to this head coach, Ryan Manali. Last year, De La Salle played in the state championship game for the second time against St. Thomas More. And a lot of people forget because it wasn't in the Superdome for the first year. It was at St. Thomas More. They hosted the state championship game. And they finished runner-up for the second time. But again, just to get to the state championship game is really hard for any program. But he's done an incredible job winning at a school, like I said, that didn't even know how to get to the playoffs. And they have a great team coming back in 2020 that's going to be potentially another state championship team. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go back to the state championship game, but potentially they have another state championship type of team, and it doesn't look like it's going to slow down any. It looks like Ryan Manali and his staff are going to continue to build this, and they've built depth. The culture now is they expect to win. This is a program that had produced, prior to Ryan Manali, some great players. I mean, the late Marquise Hill played at De La Salle. Jordy Holtberg came out of there for basketball, LSU. They had a fullback by the name of Derek Pope that signed with LSU back in the 80s. They had several really good football players come out, and a lot of great assistant coaches under former head coach Zimmerman that became head coaches in the city of New Orleans all came out of the program. They just really didn't just have a lot of luck way back in the day getting in the playoffs or winning a playoff game. But I just wanted to talk about the great job that Coach Manali's doing in New Orleans. And it's just a feat that people just don't realize how hard it is to go to to get a program that's just the culture's not there for, you know, 20-something years, maybe 25 years. They're not used to going to the playoffs. Two state championship appearances in 3 years is just, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, actually, back-to-back, you know. They played U-High in 2018, and then they go again in this past 2019. Back-to-back state championship appearances. I want to talk about another great coach and highlight another great program in Warren Easton. We're going to stick in the New Orleans area. Jerry Phillips. took over from head coach Tony Hull. Tony Hull had left for Kansas. This is prior to Les Miles, but Tony Hull took a job with Kansas. And Jerry Phillips, who was on the staff, took over the head coaching position and just kept the winning going. Tony Hull brought the success to Warren Easton. He brought, the mentality like Ryan Manalli did. Tony Hull brought this program to new heights, took them to the state championship game. They had, Tyron Johnson, who played at LSU and ended up finishing at Oklahoma State. I think Tyron would be on an NFL roster or be a free agent this year trying to make a team. Warren Easton had several players signed during that era. One was a DB, Caper Smith, went to Texas A&M, started a few games, he graduated since. Several linemen had signed through, and over the years, Warren Easton's always had great talent. And then Jerry Phillips has been to the state title game twice, again, 2 years in a row. This is three times they've been to the Dome in the last 7 years. They finished runner-up twice, but, they've lost to incredible Edna Carr teams. The same team twice. It's got to be tough for them to swallow that because it's just a program they're familiar with during the season. And they've been close games. But the job that Jerry Phillips has done is just incredible. It's remarkable. And in Jerry's background, he was an all-conference linebacker at Tulane, and he played at Edna Carr. He was an Edna Carr alum. He was a linebacker at Edna Carr. The same era as Bernard Robertson that went to Tulane from Edna Carr, Robert Royal, a tight end that went to LSU, and Noel Ellis, who played at Tulane, was a linebacker, and Noel was also at Edna Carr. That same era, what a great team under the legendary head coach Don Watney at Edna Carr. Another coach I want to recognize and spotlight at Jennings High School is longtime head coach, over 25 years, Rusty Phelps at Jennings around Lake Charles in the Lake Charles area. Jennings had knocked on the door several times to get to the Dome. They were so close. And to make the Superdome in 2019, make the state championship game, was incredible what Rusty Phelps was able to. I'm so happy for Coach for finally getting to the state championship game. He's had some bad luck. He lost to West Feliciana in 2000. I think it was 2017 in the semifinals at West Feliciana, who ended up winning the state championship. It was the first time they won it in the history of their program under now-retired coach Rob Odom. But Rusty Phelps took the team last year to the Superdome state championship game. And, they've got a lot of talent on offense. They weren't super talented overall. He's had some better teams. But this was the best team, not talent, but the best team, I think, that Rusty had chemistry-wise. You think about it. Etienne plays for Clemson. Etienne's from Jennings High School. They didn't go to the Dome when they had Etienne, but they did have his younger brother, Trevor, who will be back. Jennings will be good again. Jennings will compete for possibly going back to a state championship game, I think, in 2020. But, my hat's off to Rusty Phelps. All the years he put in, over 25 years at the school as head coach, to go to his first state championship game in 2019. They were runner-up state champs. And they just a great – I love seeing teams make a state championship game that might not be the most talented team, but they had so much chemistry. And, again, they're going to be in contention for a state championship in 2020 because of Trevor Etienne and a great defense coming back and probably a better offense. But it's incredible what they've done. And there's one other coach I want to mention. One more coach to spotlight. Faraday High School. Faraday is rich with history. Back in the 50s, 40s, They went to the state championship game plenty of times. They had some great, great players come out of the 50s. Max Fugler, who was the center at LSU for Billy Cannon back in 58 when they won the national championship, and the late Paul Diesel, the head coach. Daryl Day and his dad both came out of Faraday. Daryl Day's dad was also on that 58 state championship team from Faraday High School. State championship with LSU, the national championship with LSU as well, Mr. Day. But Stanley Smith, to me, is one of the best young coaches in Louisiana and in the country. I've had a chance to meet with Stanley a few times. I went to a couple of their games. I went to a game in 2017 and 18. They were close in 17 and 18 to get to the Superdome. They were so close. They were actually runner-up. They were actually in the semis and lost to St. Helena Central. St. Helena Central went to their first state championship appearance, and they won in the final seconds. And these were sophomore kids at the time. And then in 18, they were very close to getting back to state, to get to the state championship game. And I really felt bad for Coach Smith because he had this group that had been playing together for 3 years. But the great thing is they had another year left. These guys were all going to be seniors in 19. And they went to the state championship game in 2019 and won the state championship. I mean, we're talking about the first state championship in Faraday in, you know, over 50 years. Stanley Smith played the same 11 football players, basically, maybe 12, both sides of the football. Meaning, whoever started on offense started on defense. They were two-way starters. His quarterback, Kobe Dillon, who has graduated, he's at a junior college, and remember the name, Kobe Dillon. He's going to be a great D1 player in 2 years. 6'1", about 220, played quarterback. To me, the best dual threat quarterback in the state in 2019 in Louisiana. Well, Kobe Dillon is now at a junior college. He was a four-year starting quarterback. Also was the starting linebacker for the team the whole year. You don't see that in high school football, not at championship level. A quarterback playing every down in the game. And, you know, they had no choice. They just didn't have enough players for him not to play on defense. And that just, you know, that's just incredible what they were able to accomplish playing the same receivers at DB, the same offensive linemen at D-line, the same running backs at corner and safety, the starting tight end at DN. Incredible. Well-conditioned team, meaning great offseason. Coaches knew what they were doing in offseason because, look, to play 60 minutes for 10 games and then get to the Superdome and win the state title game in incredible fashion, what a job Stanley Smith's done. Stanley's background is he's a former college football player, played linebacker at ULL in Lafayette, was a pretty good player. And right out of college, basically, Faraday hires him, you know, not long after college, you know, early 20s. But, you know, it's just incredible what Stanley Smith's been able to do. And I don't know how long that Faraday can keep him. I know he loves Faraday. He's from Faraday. But that's our first segment today. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to go in our segment two, which I'm real excited about. Our topic is the LSU Tigers in the NFL draft. And the topic is going to be my two cents about where I think these guys are going to go in the draft. And you can hold me to it. you know, a lot has been talked about with LSU football players for the 2020 draft. You know, how many are going to get drafted? The whole topic on this is going to be I'm going to predict how many will get drafted and how many will go in the first two rounds, which if you look at it, I don't get caught up into what you read on the internet. I don't get caught up in, you know, all these these guys that predict, you know, you can predict the first 10 picks, maybe the first five. You know, I've watched NFL draft like a lot of people the last 35 years. 38 years, actually. And, you know, these general managers never tell you who they're going to draft. Everybody's just speculating, right? Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm just kind of guesstimating based on knowing the talent, you know, in the draft pool, watching college football like a crazy person, knowing who these guys are at Utah, you know, knowing who the kids are at Minnesota. You know, I'll watch all those teams, too. Because I'm just a huge college football fan. But I think LSU's got a chance to have 11 players in the first two rounds, which is a feat they've never really accomplished in the history of LSU football. 11 players potentially could go in the first two rounds. And I still think that Clyde Edwards, hell yeah, could be a first-round pick. Because general managers always hide the sleepers that they want to take in the first round. It's a game. It's a game of chess. You don't tell the other teams who you're going to draft or who you really, really like. But Justin Jefferson, I think, could be the first or second receiver taken. You know, if you look at the predictions, he'll be the third or fourth or fifth, right? I think he'll be the first or second receiver taken. But we go back to general managers don't tell you what they're going to do. He's the most complete receiver in the draft. He outshined Oklahoma's CC Lamb, who is a great player. And CC Lamb will probably go in the first round, but I think Justin Jefferson just showed he's a more complete receiver and not just a playmaker. You know, when you catch everything and you run great routes and you're tough and you do it in the SEC and you do it in the schedule against Texas, Clemson, Oklahoma, you know, non-conference, did an incredible, I mean, he's just the most complete receiver, I think, in the draft. Justin Jefferson, I watched him in high school at Destrehan, and I'm so proud to say I was able to see him in person his junior year, and just I was able to see a lot of what he became. You know, he was that raw guy that became what you kind of think some kids might become. He blossomed. And then there's Joe Burrow, who, you know, should be the first pick of the draft, whether it's Miami Dolphins or Cincinnati Bengals or whoever wants to trade up maybe, if Cincinnati even allows it, the Bengals. Joe Burrow, to me, is, you know, Cool Hand Luke. I mean, he's the most calm, most confident quarterback in the draft. You know, everybody's – I've compared him to friends to Tom Brady and other, you know, quarterbacks. But he's got a little bit of that, you know, and he's not Dan Marino or John Elway with the arm, but then again, Tom Brady has more Super Bowl rings at the end of the day, right? I just think he competes like Ben Roethlisberger. He knows the game like Tom Brady. He's just got a lot of those intangibles you see from the great quarterbacks. And he's just the guy, you know, he's not going to fail because he loves football. And he wanted the highest level, the most pressure level, the SEC. You know, winning the Georgia game in Atlanta the way he did, helping the team win it the way they did, was incredible. He's not fazed by any blitz package you can come up with as a quarterback. He knows what the defense is going to do, which is so hard to draft a guy like that coming out of college that can improvise and go to B, C, D, or E at the options at receiver. If A is not there, then he's one of the best I've ever seen in college doing that. I know I speak for a lot of people. Damian Lewis could be a first-round pick. I know it'd be a shocker, but I don't think it'd be a stretch. I mean, 6'2", 320, runs a 4.9 40, benches 500 pounds, and he is mean. And he's a Trey Turner to me, who was with Carolina for many years with LSU, and he's just been recently traded. Former St. Augustine High School graduate out of New Orleans. But I think he's Trey Turner. Trey Turner is one of the top five offensive guards in the NFL. He's built like Trey, 320, 6'2". Don't rule it out. He could be a late first-round pick. If he's not a first-round pick, Damian Lewis is a lock to go in the second round, I think. That's just my opinion. Kavion Chaisson, first-round pick. He's the best outside linebacker, big guy in the draft. Out of North Shore High School in Houston, Texas. 6'4", 6'3 and a half, 6'4", about 250. Runs a 4.5 in the 40. And hasn't blossomed yet because of injuries. Had his first healthy season. And he's very much team-oriented. I think that's why he's going to go in the first round. Not because of his stats. Not because of his measurables. But he's team-oriented. He never had a great, sack total, but if you look at his game, he cared about stopping the run as much as stopping the pass, which that's what the NFL guys want. That's what they want in a player. They want a diversified outside linebacker that can guard in the flats and rush the passer, which he can do both. And he has yet to blossom. Grant Delpit. Great free safety. I think he won the Thorpe Award off of his sophomore year. His junior year, he had a phenomenal year that really people don't realize. He played hurt the whole year. To me, that's a leader. I mean, he didn't play with a serious injury. He went through a bunch of nagging injuries because he needed to be on the field for the team. And Delpit had a pretty good year. Wouldn't like his sophomore year, but he had a pretty good year. And I think he's going to be great in NFL because here's a guy that started, 15 games this year, basically was only healthy for about 12. I mean, about maybe 3 or 4 games out of the 15. Delpit 6'3", about 210. When he's healthy, he runs 4.5. He's a great hitter. He lines people up. He knows where he's at. He knows coverages. He can rush the passer. A great player, smart kid. I think Grant will find a way in the first round. Patrick Queen, former running back at Livonia, I think he'll be a first round pick because the model now in the NFL is everybody's drafting these hybrid linebackers that are 6 feet to 6'1", about 225, and he runs a 4.5 40. It's his running back background. He learned how to play linebacker at LSU. And he blossomed before all our eyes from about week 6 Alabama game on to the national championship. He was just incredible. Lloyd Cushenberry, he's a second-round pick, I believe. Former Dutchtown High School offensive tackle, moved to center at LSU. Only played 1 year at Dutchtown. Jacob Phillips, a junior going pro from Nashville, Tennessee, a great Mike linebacker. He likes to play the run, and he's led LSU in tackles this past year. Jacob 6'4", about 240, and runs about a 4.59. He's built to play Mike, though. He's not an outside guy. But in the NFL, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, some of the better defenses in the NFL, they love those big linebackers that can play the run. So his value is very important to a lot of certain franchises. It wouldn't shock me if Jacob Phillips went first round. It wouldn't shock me. I mean, I think he'll be a second-round pick. I really do. Sadiq Charles, the LSU offensive tackle from Mississippi, originally from New Orleans. Redshirt junior that went pro, number 77. Runs about a 4.9 40 at 320, 6'5". Great athlete. I mean, a great athlete. He's had to battle through injuries and suspensions, but he's a good kid. Had a really good year considering he missed some games. Sadiq Charles has a chance at the first round. I know it would not shock me if he went in the first round. Now, I think he'll be a second-round pick. Christian Fulton, cornerback from Rummel, LSU, had a great year. Probably the most, I think fans would agree with me on this, probably the most worst luck in the country on interceptions called back. I think he had three interceptions called back in 2019, and I think he had two or three called back in 18. I mean, just had the worst luck with flags going down if he picked off a pass. It just, and I think he'll end up probably intercepting 50 passes in the NFL. Christian Fulton is a great lockdown corner. He's phenomenal. You know, the short routes, the down and outs, the post, you just can't get away from him. I mean, he's 200 pounds, 6 foot tall. Fulton is a high-value player. I think he'll go in the first round. So I have 11 LSU players going in the first round or the second round. Now, I don't have 11 going in the first, but completely think about, put your head around that, LSU fans. 11 football players will probably go in the first two rounds. And I think 7 could possibly go in the first round, maybe even 8. But I think you'll see 17 LSU players potentially drafted. I think at least 15 and potentially 17. Yet 16 go to the combine. And you had another 3 that could have went. Fehuko is a great defensive tackle that's value for certain NFL teams in the mid-rounds. Bedori Torres from Boston, Massachusetts, offensive tackle for LSU, that actually was the third tackle. He's 6'7", about 330, great feet. He could possibly get drafted, did not get invited to the combine. And then Derek Dillon, senior from Pine, Louisiana, runs a 4.440. I mean, just remember what Dillon did with Matt Canada's offense 2 years ago with big plays. He was doing reverses for 40, 50-yard touchdowns. He was exciting in that offense when they had Matt Canada, you know, just pitching him the ball. And, you know, he's got speed, so he could be drafted round 7. It's all about speed. And then obviously Michael Divinity and Thad Moss, I think they're going to be guys that go in the third round, probably third or fourth round. And Rasheed Lawrence. Rasheed Lawrence could possibly give LSU 12 players in the first two rounds. That's just amazing. I mean, Rashawn Lawrence is a phenomenal D tackle. He's had some injuries. He had a great senior year. He was MVP in the Fiesta Bowl in 18. And he's just had some really unfortunate injuries that kind of held him back for a full year, but he's always finished strong. He competes, man. He's smart. He's a team guy. 6'3", about 310. He could play DN in a 3-4. He could play a 4-3. He could place D tackle in the NFL. He could do a lot. He's multiple. But Rashawn Lawrence has a lot of value to NFL scouts. I think Divinity is going to be a steal in the later rounds. And like I said, Thad Moss will be an NFL starter, but probably a go round 3 or 4. You know, here's some stats for LSU, some history stats for the fans that I pulled up. And it's really, really interesting for the fans. LSU's had, since 1936, 41 first-round picks. 41. They've had 320 players drafted since 1936. 320 players drafted, 41 first-round picks. That's an amazing stat to have 41 players in the first round. They're going to have almost 50 in their school history after this draft coming up. I mean, that very few schools have first-round picks in the history of their school, more or less 41. That's got to be – I didn't look it up. It's got to be in the top – LSU's got to be in the top 10, I would say, in the history of college football. They have 41. I'm sure Notre Dame and Michigan and USC that's been winning championships since the 40s, I'm sure they have a lot more, but I doubt there's more than seven or six programs that have more first-round picks than LSU – than 41 first-round picks. And obviously this is going to balloon over to maybe 340 players in the history of the school drafted by the time this draft is over. This will be a record amount of players possibly for LSU ever if it's 15 or 17 or maybe even 18. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
Make sure to check out our website at LAFootballMagazine.com for all the latest recruiting information statewide. This week, check out all of our recruiting interviews with all the latest prospects and coaches. Also, make sure to check out our website to stay up to date with our TV show each week. That website, again, is LAFootballMagazine.com.
We're back with segment three. Lee Burkeen here. You're listening to me on the our Sporting Scouting Report with Lee Burkeen. College football notes is our segment three. College football notes. LSU landed their first recruit without taking a visit. This is very historic because of the coronavirus, because of the shutdown with our country, you know. Kids can't really, they can't visit, they can't, you know, fly on airplanes, they can't, you know, everything's shut down. Recruiting shut down until June 1st at least, until they look at it again. Recruiting as far as, you know, face-to-face and official visits is shut down and camps and all that stuff. You can do the internet, you know, texting and the phone and all that, they can do that. But to get a guy to sign with your program and not even visit the university is historic. He's the first, and his name is Jabril Cox, a linebacker from North Dakota State, which is the powerhouse in 1AA football. They call it Subdivision 1. He was the best player, some say for 3 years in a row, defensively in all of 1AA, three-time All-American. Almost 100 tackles in 2019, 5.5 sacks, 10 tackles for losses. We're talking a guy with over almost 400 career tackles, 6'3", 233 pounds, runs a 4.59 40. We're talking about an NFL elite senior-to-be who could have put his name in the NFL draft this year. I mean, he would have got drafted. We're talking about a guy who I've seen on film. I've watched a couple of their national championship games. He is a phenomenal player at defense, at linebacker. As an outside linebacker or a Mike linebacker, he could be a Will linebacker. He's had several interceptions in his career. He's a run stopper. He can blitz. This kid is going to be, I think, he's got a chance to be a first, second round pick. Just 1 year at LSU. And not only that, but Jabril Cox is going to take the place of Jacob Phillips. He's a clone, and actually maybe he's faster, has a chance to be better, which is scary. Jabril Cox is like the best recruit you can get by not having and this is when you're glad you have scholarships left over for the recruiting class. LSU had three scholarships left. Now they have two left. But if you count this kid toward the class, you need to re-rank all these classes. LSU just got the best 1AA defensive transfer in the history of college football for D1. I mean, this guy is a guy that's going to change your whole defense because he can do the huddle, he can call the plays, And LSU, even though they had talent coming back at linebacker, it was not a deep group, and they weren't very old and inexperienced, you know. So this is like the Joe Burrow pickup of the defense for LSU's program. I mean, if you're ranking transfers, if there's a transfer award in recruiting, LSU's won it twice. Joe Burrow wins the Heisman Trophy and leads LSU national championship as a transfer. And then you get, like I said, the most decorated linebacker to ever come out of a 1AA school that's going to finish his senior season at LSU. Incredible talent. And look, North Dakota State is a great program. He just wanted to play at the highest level for 1 year. I mean, again, this guy could have put his hat in the NFL draft this year and could potentially went third round, maybe even higher. In closing, I want to go ahead and recognize some really sad news and the passing of one of our legendary coaches in high school football in Louisiana. The passing of Wayne Reese, the head football coach at McDonough 35, was very much, when I heard the news, just really upset, just in shock. Wayne Reese had mentored, developed, molded hundreds of lives. I watched this man do this, too, back in earlier in my career. I went to a bunch of their practices for the team and was able to hang around Wayne in like I said, the earlier years in my career when I was able to travel more just for practices, not just games. But I've seen him. I can't even tell you how many games I was able to meet Wayne before a game, and he was the most polite person you would ever meet in your life. And he was so genuine. And the program, he did so much for these kids in New Orleans, the kids that played for him that didn't have, you know, cars or transportation. He was a father figure for just, like I said, hundreds of people that came out of that school over the last 20-plus years, and he coached for, seemed like, 50 years. You know, they called him the godfather of New Orleans high school football in New Orleans. And we're going to miss Wayne Reese, and my condolences to the family of the Reese family, Wayne Reese Jr., who's a head football coach in New Orleans, his son, Frank Daggs, who's been on the staff for many years. My condolences to Wayne Reese's family, and they're in our prayers, and I'm praying for them, and just really saddened by the hearing of Miss Coach Wayne Reese passing. Wayne was 74 years old and played at Tennessee State, was a great hot college football player, and like I said, he is going to be sorely missed, and really one of my favorite coaches ever. He coached Marshall Faulk at Carver High School earlier in his career, who ended up going to the San Diego State and had a great career at the Rams and the Colts. We all know what Marshall Faulk did. He was coached by Wayne Reese. Nate Livings, who played at LSU when Wayne Reese was the head coach at Washington Marion in Lake Charles. He coached Talman Gardner, who played for Florida State, a receiver, and several others. I mean, he coached over 100 players that went D1 over his career. But again, I just wanted to recognize on my show today the passing of head football coach Wayne Reese for McDonough 35, and again, my condolences to his family and the school and all the kids on the team and all the staff at McDonough 35. I also want to send out my prayers to head football coach Eric Randall at Baker High School. He has lost a couple of relatives to this coronavirus. Eric Randall prayers to you and your family, Eric, if you're hearing this. And that's just what I know. You know, I'm stuck at my house like most Americans, working out of home. And I'm just so glad to be able to do the podcast. I hope that you enjoyed the show. And be sure to go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. I'm still working on the preview issue. We're calling high school coaches every day and talking to college coaches every day. It doesn't stop, you know. We're going to get through this as a country. And hopefully everything will get back. Hopefully, God willing, everything will be back. We can play some football this fall, hopefully. But, yeah, the football magazine, we're going to put out our 24th preview issue. We don't know when. I mean, we usually do it early August. It could be late August, early September. But we are going to have our preview issue this year for the 24th year, which will be all 310 high schools, all 12 colleges in Louisiana, our recruiting section, our all-Louisiana team, and all the wonderful years. I mean, look at all the kids that have been on our cover, Andrew Whitworth, some of the great players that we were talking about today. I mean, Donnie Jones retired with the Eagles and the Chargers. You know, just to name a couple that were on the cover of our magazine back in the day. You know, if you played in the NFL over the last 20, 25 years, you were probably on the cover of our magazine if you're from Louisiana. And I know a lot of kids were able to get recognized prior to the internet and still to this day. Real proud of, you know, trying to get a lot of these kids exposure and just love football. And I know that I speak for everybody today and this week. And this month, football is such a great hobby, and it's just something that we just love in Louisiana. I mean, it's just outside of, you know, God and family, it's football. Some people have it even differently or higher than that, but football is so important to us. And hopefully, again, we'll have a football season and, you know, this fall. We want to wish everybody great health in this world, this country. Stay safe, everyone, and thanks for joining us today, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.